All right. How are you doing?
Hi.
So what is G-Beta?
G-Beta is a programming language designed some years back by our supervisor. And it's the main point of it is that it's a statically typed language based on virtual classes. And that means that you are able to, like with virtual methods, you are able to specialize your methods as you extend your types through inheritance. Here you are able to specialize your inner classes when you inherit the outer class, basically.
Hmm.
So if you have, for example, if the canonical example is the expression problem. You have some classes that together form and some expressions,
yes.
Literals, add, minus, stuff like that. But if you have add and minus, for example, they contain left and right expressions. But if you inherit those to add, for example, a print method, then those left and right variables would be of type the original expression, so they wouldn't have this print method. But when you use virtual classes and you specialize your expression, then this specialization becomes recursive through your inheritance hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So in this model, your left and right expressions would actually have print methods. And in the same way, if you see down here actually, it can be extended with an evaluation method, then all our left and right expressions here would have this evaluation method as well.
Okay.
So we have this completely type safe extension of our expressions.
Interesting.
So if we have a minus from here, we wouldn't be able to use it up here with this language, because minus isn't known for that language.
Yeah.
Also, we wouldn't be able to take an add and use it with a literal from over here, because it's known that this add is part of this lang print class and this add is part of this lang class.
Okay.
So we can make extensions extremely flexibly, but still have the type safety that is necessary to ensure that we don't accidentally put an object that from another family into this family over here,
mm-hmm.
and then get a blow up at runtime.
Exactly.
As would happen with in C#, for example, if we make deal with casts all over the place to get the right types,
yeah.
Then we would risk having the wrong type suddenly and wouldn't be able to cast to the right type and then get a exception at runtime.
Sure.
That can't happen here.
It can't happen here.
No. Can't.
Interesting. Impossible.
Yes.
So there's no way to mess up, huh?
No, actually not, because it's statically type checked at compile time that this, to ensure this will never happen.
Cool.
But you also have the dynamic feature of that at runtime create new types. So you can combine one class with another class at runtime to create a completely new type that is only known completely at runtime.
Excellent.
But it's still type safe.
Very nice.
All so, based on make sense.
So who's using this?
Well, we are.
Well, I mean, what are you building with it?
Actually, we're not. So far, it's just a research project.
Sure.
To figure out how to make. Our job is to figure out how to make this run fast, basically.
Ah.
The current implementation is extremely slow, and so it's not useful in the real
now
world.
Now, it's extremely slow because of why?
That's because the compiler and the virtual machine at the moment is one application.
Ah.
So the compiler does the static type checking, and then it gives this object graph to the virtual machine that executes this graph and does all extra checking once again. So it checks in the compiler and it checks at runtime again, just to make sure everything is okay.
Sure.
So our project is to rely on this static type check language from the compiler and say, okay, we know it's okay, and then make it run faster.
Outstanding. Now, of course, you have to deal with the rapidly approaching world of many-core. And
yeah.
the sort of the increase in popularity of functional programming languages, right? We just released F#, which is sort of a hybrid functional object-oriented language that runs on the .NET framework.
Yeah.
But you guys have any plans for maybe approaching that?
Well, actually, there is an interesting aspect that is coming into the GPT language of kind of master-slave classes, where you are able to say, well, this I can give this reference to my children, basically my slave, so they can use this object, but they're not able to give that object away further. So I own it completely, and I'm able to distribute who is able to use it, but unable to distribute it further. And this way, we can ensure that this object is completely encapsulated and can run without a problem on a separate core, if you will.
Yeah.
And if we have many of these, and they are all active, well, we can just distribute them over multi-cores. This is still just a conjecture. None of this has been implemented yet, but this is an interesting approach to keep it object-oriented instead of going the functional way.
Absolutely. You think you could do a gbeta.net?
Well, that's what I'm doing, basically.
That's what you're working on.
Yeah. And I have a full implementation at the moment, but it's not that efficient yet. Still better than the original implementation, but still not efficient enough to be used.
Very cool. Yeah.
My project is trying to make a better virtual machine, so I'm actually writing it C++.
Ah,
so.
As opposed to what was it written?
Actually, it was written in the original Beta language, which GBeta is a generalization of.
Ah.
So it was written in the language. It tries to do better, actually.
Understood.
So Beta was also a statically typed language with virtual methods, but no virtual classes.
Ah.
So Eric, our advisor, made it better implemented in that language, and we're now trying to make it even faster, and we have to go to another language. Then.
Sure. Well, C++ should help.
Yeah. It should. It does. I have a speed up now of like 20 compared to the original implementation, so it is definitely possible.
And that's you could always also try Erlang.
Oh, yeah. That's a possibility, yes.
I mean, it could be an interesting thing.
Yeah, but
for
Erlang is fast on like message passing and
sure.
Networking, but if on raw computation, it sucks, basically.
Uh-oh.
I'll be careful what you say.
Yeah, I'll be careful what you say. Joe Armstrong will probably
Joe
me down.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to Stockholm on Saturday. I'll ask him about that. Just kidding. Excellent, you guys. So you're students and you're creating new languages. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
You too.
And are you one of the students, or are you just
No,
hanging
I'm
out?
Actually from next door.
Oh, next door.
Doing optimization.
Maybe that's a good segue. Want to talk about next door?
Sure.
Hey, nice to talk to you guys.
Yep.
You too.
Sorry.
So what I'm doing here next door is optimization of distribution combined with packing. So it's both finding out what customers to visit, what orders to deliver,
mm-hmm.
and how to pack it in the vehicle.
Okay.
So it's more or less used starting out with a weekly optimization where you define where can I deliver what?
Mm.
How many vehicles do I need? How many vehicles do I have to order from the transportation company?
Mm-hmm.
And then what do I need to produce to deliver the orders?
Okay.
And then in a daily optimization where you need to find out, okay, I got this in my stock. How do I get it out of there?
Yeah. So what's your platform? How does it work?
It's using some meta heuristic called LNS and simulated annealing. Simulated annealing.
Wow.
Actually, it's using the same. It's actually just the same as if you got some iron and you want to make it to steel.
Yeah.
You heat it and you let it cool slowly.
Okay.
As far as I've been told.
Yeah.
And it's actually the same. Here we start out with a high temperature, and then we slowly decrease a temperature and let all the factors. There's a lot of factors in this. There's all the vehicles. There's all the packages. There's all the routes, which roads to go, and so.
Mm-hmm.
And let it settle first at violence. It can make crazy solutions, and then make it smaller, smaller, smaller. And end up with a good solution.
Interesting. Very cool. Are you using any managed code, or what are you using on the Microsoft stack? Anything?
We are using Microsoft MapPoint.
Yeah.
That's just about it.
That's fine. That's cool. But this works across all devices, right? I mean, give me a client scenario. I mean, well, how am I interacting with this?
Well, actually, you're interacting with it by making the... Over here, there's all the routes that I made. Under there, there's the orders. Mm-hmm. And then you can add order and add clients and where it has to go. And there's a lot of constraints in it.
Okay.
And then you ask it to optimize. Then it makes a solution for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you see if you like it. Actually, you don't see if you like it. You see if the transport companies like it.
Okay.
And if it's okay, you can use it.
Very cool.
Else you have to change your constraints and figure out what you made wrong.
Outstanding. And this is also from the University of Copenhagen?
Yeah. That was the last project.
We were Aarhus.
Aarhus. Hey, I was just in Aarhus. I was at JAL 2007.
Oh, yeah.
Almost. All right. Are you with JAL crew?
Yes.
All right, man. That's where I interviewed Joe and
he was a speaker there.
Eric Meyer. Yeah. Great conference. I'm going to go to the next one as well.
Oh, definitely. It's a super conference.
Yeah. Aarhus is a cool little town as well. Very cool. So I see you got some animation going on.
Yeah.
You did that in C++ or?
Yeah, we made it in C++ and with VX widgets.
Okay.
So it's pretty much cross-platform. It works on Mac, it works on Linux, it works on Windows.
Sure. Well, that's the beauty of C++, right?
Yeah.
Assuming that the libraries are on the platform as well, right?
Yeah. Luckily it is.
Luckily it is. Very cool. Well, great to talk to you guys.
Bye.
Right on. Take care.